Hey, hi Hamira, good to have you here.
Hi, Busayomi. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start by you introducing yourself to our audience, what you do, and what's your passion. How do you get motivated about working in the transparency and accountability field?
Sure. My name is Amira. I work at Luminate and I'm the principal for civic empowerment. That means that I work with organizations that, try to remove the barriers that are in the ways of people to fully and actively participate in society, and try to support them with, what we can as a foundation, which is through funding, but also through, strategic support and guidance. And I actually started my working life and my career working more specifically and purely on transparency and accountability issues. And what motivated me to do that really is that in early 2011, there were big protests across the Middle East and North Africa. And I'm from Egypt originally. And I moved to Egypt after the protests in 2011 to work in an NGO that worked with street children. And that year that I spent in Egypt was a kind of transition year where the president had stepped down and there was a transitional military regime. And at that time, and actually until today, a lot of the problems in Egypt are, kind of rooted in the abuse of power by powerful institutions, by corruption, by a lack of transparency and accountability in how the country is governed. And corruption really is at the heart of so many problems that we faced. And living through this experience was actually really important for me and valuable to understand these dynamics. So when I was living in Egypt, I became quite involved in protesting against the abuse of power by institutions of power, including by the armed forces. And when I left Egypt, I kind of wanted to continue to work in that field and to help make institutions more accountable at a more systemic level, if that makes sense, and to make governments work for all people and not just for a few, privileged people.
Oh, that's great. So, in your years of working in the transparency, participation, and accountability field, what are the challenges you have faced, especially as a woman?
Right. Well, in that sector, obviously, or working when you work on transparency, accountability, there are a ton of challenges, and they can really differ depending on the sector that you work on. So, for example, I started my career working on accountability in the armed forces. So, working a lot with militaries, ministries of defense, peacekeeping missions. And that historically is a really male-dominated sector. So, this in and of itself was quite challenging as a young civilian woman. And also, it's a very secretive sector. So that also makes it quite challenging to then work on issues of transparency and accountability. But I think more generally, when we think about transparency, participation, accountability, there are quite a few challenges when we work in these fields. For example, when we think of participation, which is like a big thing, and many organizations work on participatory governance or participatory budgeting. One of the really big questions that we have to ask ourselves really is, who is invited to participate? And when we say participation, does that actually mean participation for all? Because really often, when you look at these participation programs and processes, they're actually not that inclusive. They can exacerbate, quite asymmetrical power dynamics in the world or in a smaller context, within which we operate. And so, one of the really big challenges is to think about these things in a more equitable and more inclusive way. And also, when we talk about participation, for example, and if we stand up and stand in for participation, then we probably should also protect the freedom not to participate. So when groups or people oppose a system or oppose a process, then that is as legitimate and as important as participating. And so, for example, at Luminate, when we talk about participation, we include dissent in that, and we're keen to protect both the ability to participate, but then also the freedom to dissent.
Okay. So that brings me to my next question. So in the number of years that you've worked on different projects or with different organizations apart from Luminate, what significant changes have you seen in the past years, and what other changes are you excited to see in the next few years?
Yeah, I'm always so inspired and so impressed when I see social movements and when I see activists stand up for, you know, a better world that they believe in and that they want to see, and a world that works for everybody. And in the last years, we've seen so much of that, right? We had the Arab Spring protests in 2011. We've seen movements in Ukraine and Turkey, Hong Kong and the US, and most recently, right now, actually, in Nigeria. And when movements form and when activists stand up for, you know, for a different world, then they take huge risks to their life, to their liberty, just so that they can effect this real change. And so that's something that's, you know, been, that's so important, and that's been really inspiring to see. But unfortunately, what we also see, right, is that these big events, these kind of inspiring, disruptive events, don't always necessarily translate into the sustainable political reform that we want to see. And there are quite a few reasons for that. Sometimes, you know, after you have a big political disruption, there is a power vacuum, and that vacuum can be filled by the wrong and even predatory people and groups. Other times, activists and social movements find it a lot easier to organize and form coalitions against oppression, but it's much harder to organize for something and to agree with so many different stakeholders on a forward-looking agenda for political reform. You know, and another reason can be ultimately that the skills that activists and social movements use to move the masses and to dissent with an oppressive system are actually quite different from the skills that we need to navigate politics. And so this work where social movements can build that bridge from organizing against to organizing for when the time is right is something that we at Luminate are really interested in.
Right. So Amira, what in your years of working with the military and all that, and from what you've said, how has, now this is a personal question, how has all this experience shaped the way you carry out your work as a program officer?
Right. Well, I think that the biggest thing really is that I have done a lot more fundraising than I have done grant making. So I have worked in NGOs for the largest part of my career. And so I know how important it is to have access to unrestricted funding, for example, or to be able to develop your own strategy and find partners and funders that are going to buy into that strategy. And also because I've done a lot of work in advocacy and policy, I can use, you know, my own experiences and my own sort of strategic ability to work with and strategize and plan with partner organizations. And so one of the biggest things really that I always wanted in a funder when I was working in NGOs, and now I try, you know, as a principal at Luminate to sort of espouse these values as well, is to be led by the expertise of the people who are doing the work and who know what they need to have the impact that they want to achieve.
Right. So what recommendation will you give your younger self or anyone starting out as a program officer in the TPA field?
I mean, I think in our field, there can be quite a bit of pressure to know exactly what you want to achieve and where you want to be in a year or 2 years or 5 years. And when, you know, you just start a job and you see people who have more experience, their sort of career path can sound like a really neat and very planned out journey. And I think that the truth is that these narratives are formed in hindsight, where in hindsight we know, well, I did this and it led me there and so on. And a lot of things really are up to circumstances or even up to luck. And so, you know, the one piece of advice maybe that I would give is that people who start their careers in this field shouldn't be afraid to follow what they find interesting, what they find stimulating, and where they feel they can have an impact. And the rest will sort of follow from that. But honestly, like, I don't know, who am I to say, right? Like, I think we're all trying to figure that out.
We are, I get you. So before you go, I have one last question for you. So what song would you pick for your personal thing, and why did you pick that song?
So I'm generally really into like empowering music by women. I know that's not really a genre, but that's sort of the music I like. So much so that, you know, when I open Spotify, it recommends playlists to me that are called Independent Women or Feeling Accomplished or The Slay List. So I don't know that there is one song necessarily, but I really like, for example, Run the World by Beyoncé and Je Veux by Zaz. So Run the World is about women and that they can do anything and that they're born leaders. And Je Veux is about a woman who doesn't kind of 100% fit societal expectations and who doesn't care too much about material things, but knows kind of what she wants from this world, which is, you know, love and joy and good humor. And so these are two songs I really like, but generally it's a really hard question to answer. Do you have an answer?
Yeah, it's a personal choice, but I think sometimes music we listen to actually, perhaps from our experience, we tend to love the kind of music that speaks to what we want to see in the society. So I think maybe that is how it is for you. And also it can be a genre, of course, like you said, women empowerment music. Why not have that? Why we have pop, R&B and all that? So that would be one as well.
Spotify definitely knows me very well in this regard.
I get you. Thank you very much for your time, Amira.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.